Moikka! Welcome to Mastering Finland. This podcast shares stories of foreigners in Finland and provides practical tips and learning opportunities for all. Go ahead, join our community and enjoy listening to this episode. For more information, check our website masteringfinland.com.
Hello, this is Eva from Mastering Finland podcast. My today's guest is Oki Dog. It's difficult to pronounce his last name, so I'm going to let Oki to do it himself after a while. Oki is a Finnish entrepreneur, learner, mentor, micro angel investor, and he told me he usually is baffled by the complexity of the world. Welcome to our podcast episode, Oki, and tell us something about yourself.
Thank you, Eva. I think that sums up myself, and especially the baffled about the complexity about the world part. And just, for example, thinking the theme of this whole podcast and the weirdness of the world in general. I've lived my whole life in Finland, born here, and I've been privileged in the way that I've been able to visit about 40 countries in the world. There have been a few cultural situations where literally I have had to gather my jaw from the floor because my mouth had opened so wide. One of the most mysterious experiences for me was Saudi Arabia and the hierarchy within that culture. And I was so puzzled. It was a business-related thing. I was running an innovation program for one of the corporates there. And at that moment, this was last year, I think I understood, partly at least, how freaking weird Finland is.
For the foreigners.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes to us Finns, but especially for the foreigners.
Oh, very good. I'm going to definitely link to that and ask you then right away. So what do you think is the weird thing about the Finns first? Then I ask the other way around.
It's quite difficult. I've been actually trying to figure this out myself. But if we start from the lack of hierarchy, for example, it seems to be very present in many cultures in the world. And if you're coming from that kind of a culture, maybe some Middle Eastern cultures, Far East cultures from our perspective, some cultures from the African continent where hierarchy is much more prominent, it might seem so baffling that you can, for example, go and say hi to a CEO of a large company on the street and ask them how they're doing, or a politician, or that the president sits in the crowd of his wife's book publishing party just as one of the participants, not just on a chair, because the chairs were all full and taken, so he was sitting down on a staircase. Or in a staircase. And it's just so weird, kind of upside down, mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Yeah, might be. And I suppose that it's very important for everyone that moved to Finland and is trying to find a job here to know, because that is something, let's say, rare. And it is. It takes quite some courage for us foreigners, for example, to understand that, yes, we can go. We can contact the CEO via LinkedIn and ask him a question. And it's okay. And they even really also seem to answer very often.
Yeah, of course, it depends on the CEO. But yes, I recently, just before entering this podcast room, I read one of your blog posts from the Mastering Finland site. It was the 7 steps of getting a job in Finland, mm-hmm. or 7 recommendations.
Yeah,
or
the
tips.
7 tips. Mm-hmm.
To me, I think the first 6, they can be important. But the 7th, I would underline it 10 times and put it as number 1. And that was the networking part.
Okay. Thank you for the tip. We may try to rewrite that.
Because I think that it kind of also reflects the cultural differences, possibly in this case, that you can go out and network with the C-level people, with anybody. And that is the way to build the trust needed for them to see you as an applicant that you know, could make sense for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if that personal connection doesn't happen, and it's the same everywhere, I think, you get the personal connections and then you get hired because they trust you. And the CV doesn't kind of build trust. The LinkedIn profile doesn't build that personal level of trust. Mm-hmm. So the only way to do it is the networking. And you can do it. You can talk to the C-level person. So I think that's why it's the most important.
Yeah. The foreigners are very often surprised, though, that it works this way, because it is more common in other countries that you have open job positions to which you apply. But what we have learned here in Finland, that very often there is no open position, but a company is searching for someone, and therefore, or maybe the company doesn't even know it's about to search for someone, but by getting to know you, or by of course knowing what the person can offer to the company, they may really decide to hire you, even maybe they were not looking for anyone at the first place.
Yes.
So these are differences, yes.
Definitely. Something you mentioned, we sometimes call hidden jobs.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and definitely. It is a thing in Finland.
Well, that's very good. So we will link to this podcast also our 7 tips, and the listeners get to know that the last tip is the most important, the networking. But that brings me to actually you yourself, your working experience. I checked your LinkedIn account before this podcast recording, and you have worked in really many companies, or you have helped maybe many companies. So tell me a bit, what is the common link between them?
The common link is it took me the first 15 years of my work experience to really figure out what I want to do. So if you look at the first 15 years, you can see me going from place to place. Mm-hmm. And that reflects my own learning journey in what the heck do I want to do.
Mm-hmm. So there we see you are the learner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of forced to learn. I was so baffled by, can this work life offer me actually something meaningful, something purposeful, something that I like doing, something where my strengths could, you know, make a difference, and something that actually, you know, benefits humankind or whatnot, but at least that I would feel myself that I'm doing something beneficial. Then I, at some point, found a purposeful way of entrepreneurship, you could say. I found mentorship in a sense where I felt like, all right, I can actually contribute. I can help other entrepreneurs on the personal, on the kind of mental, on the also business sides. So after that realization, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that's been where I've been mostly focusing mm-hmm. in.
So tell us a bit more about what do you do every day? Why? What's your ikigai? Why do you wake up in the morning?
It's a good question. I think there are so many people in the world who, for example, want to be entrepreneurs and want to make a difference. And the way this society, if you could call it that, trains people to be entrepreneurs is almost upside down from my perspective. If you go to a business school, you learn about business models, you learn about market research, you learn about all these kind of things. And when you, for example, try to be an entrepreneur for the first time, the heaviest lessons come from learning stuff about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
About, I'm too scared, or I feel too anxious to actually call or get in touch with my first potential customers. There's nothing to do with the business model or market research or anything, but it's actually facing your own fears or your own feelings of anxiousness or whatever. And when we kind of compare these two points of view, you have this top-down model of teaching business models and market research and so on, and then you have this bottoms-up way of learning that, okay, what kind of an entrepreneur am I? What do I feel to be meaningful? what are my goals? What do I want to change in the world? And how could I actually do it? And if you start from this bottom-up perspective, it's usually about your own motivations. It's usually about what you find meaningful and also how you overcome your own personal obstacles to actually be able to fulfill or create this mm-hmm. entrepreneur journey for yourself.
So you have created a kind of a mentoring company or...
Yes, TrainShare, my own company, focuses on these kind of incubation and acceleration programs mm-hmm. for entrepreneurs. I do also mentorship in all of these programs and in some others. And then on the other side with Remode, with my business partner, Pierre Jallo, me and Pierre are combining his cultural competence training and go-to-market expertise with my business acceleration thoughts, and we've established Remode as a go-to-market consultancy, so helping Nordics and Baltic and German companies go to the African continent. Mm-hmm. And the one of the main themes in these both companies is the learning speed. So I feel like this bridges to the topic of this podcast quite well also. I consider a successful entrepreneur a person who learns fast, mm-hmm. which means that learning slow is quite natural for us. We postpone things. We don't want to eat the frog in the morning because it doesn't feel nice and so on. And that slows our learning speed. But if you can actually kind of go full on, accept your own fears and still go about and do your entrepreneurship thing, you're most probably learning much, much faster. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if somebody wants to master Finland, it's exactly the same thing. If you can do it fast, great. If your own fears and anxiousnesses and all things kind of stop you from engaging with the culture and the people here, of course, you will learn slower.
Very good. I think that's very important what you just said. But the thing is that until people realize that it's not the one's personal, actually, fear or, let's say, denominator, that it does not only happen to this one person, but when the person realizes that this is happening to many other, let's say, foreigners, and that that it is happening also because the culture is like this, because people, Finnish people, normally behave like that, then it's much easier to overcome the fear, let's say, and go and do it in a similar matter.
I completely agree, and I don't know if it helps anybody, but I would consider, and I want to say this out loud again, I consider the Finns, myself included, weird. We are a small island of weird culture in the Nordics, and I would just encourage everybody who is coming here not to consider themselves as weird, but that, okay, the Finns are actually weird.
But they are weird also, in and you are also weird in a nice way.
Of course. Why I say this is that I hope that it encourages people to kind of feel that safety, that, okay, I have entered a different place, a weird place, and it's fine. I am here right now, and if I want to learn fast, it's better for me to accept it as new and, in a sense, weird, so that I can focus my curiosity towards the weirdness, to learn in a curious, playful manner that, okay, why are these people acting like this? And that was weird again, too. Like, what happened? And maybe even ask.
And you sometimes realize that on the faces of the foreigners, for example.
Yeah.
A lot. Well, can you tell me some examples? Like, what are the tips to cope with Finns or with Finland?
I would maybe start with an example. I usually start a discussion with a deliberate icebreaker about a personal thing. Like if a foreigner asks me, let's say a U.S. Based a person from the United States, asks me that, how are you or how are things? And I know that that's a courtesy question. And I sometimes kind of, I guess I'm a bit of a bad person here, but I start telling them about a very personal thing that happened, for example, for me in the morning, or that I've been feeling really stressful and I've been, you know, coping it like this. And then I look at them and they're like, what is this person about? Why I was just, it was just a courtesy. I'm not expecting anything craziness like this. And sometimes if I see that they're struggling, especially with it, I tell them that's just like, welcome to Finland. And sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. But
it's so a joke.
It's a joke. But
that,
at
yeah.
the same
but
time,
normally Finns are not talking about personal things.
It depends. I feel like there are many types of Finnish people. But to my experience, because of the lower hierarchy, I feel like Finns also talk more about their personal lives in the work place, especially. Maybe this is not universal, but for example, comparing to the German work culture, based on my experience, Finns talk much more about personal things.
Really?
Finns friends, we find friends at the workplace.
Yes.
And in the German culture, it's much more work is work and friends are friends and they're kept separate.
Mm-hmm. But this is really interesting because normally we get the feedback that the Finns do not really talk about private things at work and that work is work and outside of work are friends. But it of course depends. And maybe also I am understanding you are in the business a little bit. Maybe it's more or less startups and younger, let's say younger companies or younger people. So also maybe that is kind of a bit changing. I am assuming a big Finnish corporate maybe is something different.
Eva, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. My world must be biased in this. I think that's for sure true. And I think that it's a bit stupid from my side to say that work is work and other life is other life and Finns somehow mix it. Maybe there are certain parts in the Finnish culture that it's okay to mix in the work life.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not everything, of course.
Well, maybe there are also certain things that you Finns know what is okay to ask and what is not anymore okay to ask. I mean, maybe, and it also actually doesn't, it isn't only for Finns, but I think also in other cultures, like you don't ask, for example, okay, so how much do you earn? Or, I don't know, do you have a partner right away? Or some kind of these questions, of course, you don't ask right away. Maybe later when you are becoming more friends with your co-worker then, or colleague, then maybe you ask and so on. But you mentioned Germany. Did you live in a different country than Finland?
No, I've never lived in a different country than Finland.
Mm-hmm.
The Germany experience comes from two go-to-market efforts that I did with two different companies, when I was working in one and when I was a co-founder in the other one. And then now we're actually, we have a new co-founder testing type of phase going on with a German person. And she's been kind of feeding me in about how it works in Germany and how weird it is sometimes here in Finland.
Because I was about to say that we foreigners sometimes say about Finns, especially male, I need to say, but in general, that there are two types, the ones that live abroad and the ones never live abroad, because we kind of see that there is a big difference in the talkativity and in mostly in the talkativity, because overall about like the ideas about the world and so on, that's more or less the same, but about the in the openness and talkativity, I think that there are these two types of Finns.
I think that's true, and I guess the less talkative people find Finland to be a happy place and don't want to leave, so
yeah. And they also, the foreigners, we also very much see all the positives. We, of course, see a lot of negatives, or let's say the weird things that we still need to embrace and try to get used to them, or at least understand, so that we can decide whether we are up for them or not and whether we want to follow. But in general, I mean, Finland, of course, has really many, many great positives.
happy to hear. Maybe, yeah.
I am always asking the questions to you know, to our, normally we have foreigners as guests, because it's about the foreigners mastering Finland. But more and more, I am more interested in also the Finnish stories of people living in Finland and mastering their Finnish stories. And especially, what is surprising to you about the foreigners? Because, I mean, sometimes maybe, you know, we can always say, we always complain about the weather, and then you are like, well, didn't you check Google? Didn't you Google which country you're going to before you moved? Or, you know, what is it? Does something come to your mind?
For me, it's the perseverance. Like, people coming here and not giving up.
And complaining and not giving up.
No, not complaining. No. This is like utterly and completely from the kind of positive angle from my side. Mm-hmm. My hats off to the people who come here, want to learn about the culture, the working culture, look for jobs.
It's
so different here. The language, just as a single one thing, is so complicated and difficult to learn. I can imagine that the perseverance is something that I have to say I admire in the people who come here, who stay here, or who then decide to leave. I feel like, yeah, I could say that I admire the people, because I don't think I would be up for it.
You yourself would not want to stay in a different country,
go through all the learnings to face that. Maybe not fears in my case, but the self doubt, the can I make it, the insecurity maybe. Mm-hmm. Would be something that I don't think I could cope with. And I believe that that's the main reason I've never tried to even mm-hmm. go abroad or live somewhere. I just need the safety, and it's better for you.
And it seems that you have now are linking it nicely to your to the beginning, what you were telling me about, that you need to know about yourself. So when you're starting a business, or when you are actually starting the career in general, it's really good to look at oneself and say, okay, I am like this, I like doing this, I don't like doing that, these are my worries, these are my possible struggles, and how do I now incorporate that into my life? Yeah. So it seems for you, you have managed quite well to to do that with, at least I'm staying in Finland.
True. And if we consider what you just said from this Mastering Finland perspective, I just completely forgot what I was about to say. Oh, yes. I feel like coming from another culture, from the other side of the world, or maybe somewhere closer, but just entering Finland, this different kind of culture, I feel like anybody coming here has to kind of take a new journey to self-awareness, or building self-awareness and becoming aware about their own cultural things and facing this weird Nordic culture mm-hmm. of Finland. And I would imagine that that's quite a journey.
It's quite a journey, I suppose, as well, that normally most of the people that I have met, for example, or most of the people that I talk to, most of the foreigners are super really motivated. Very motivated. We come here, we're going to study the language, we're going to find a job, and we're going to mingle with the Finns and have Finnish friends, and all this in 1 year. And then it hits. It normally does not happen within a year. If you manage to learn the language, that you're able really to have a fluent conversation that lasts a little bit longer, 3 minimum, if you also need to work in a Finnish environment. You Finns, you're not making it very easy, because you all speak very well English. So that is not for us the trigger why we would need to learn. So we are there going and searching for other motivations. And yes, after a while, then you need to have some solid grounds to stay. But as said already, Finland has some solid grounds, especially the fact that there is no hierarchy, the fact that it's very safe, everything works mostly better than I know that Finns always also complain about the political situation here, but come on, if you compare it to quite the rest of the world, the political situation here is quite good.
I guess so.
Tell me a bit, would you have any let's say, I don't want to call it a negative surprise, but what is this kind of a weird thing that the foreigners do or don't do, or complain, or don't complain?
It's hard for me to even think. I mean, food came to mind, but I mean, Finnish food is not special, so I can understand people complaining about the traditional Finnish food. I think, I just feel that my respect overrides everything in my brain right now, even if I try to think that has somebody complained about anything? Maybe the difficulty of getting into the Finnish society. And I think that I explain it to myself that it's easy to get into the societies, for example, where they've come from. And it's more about understanding that there's kind of no way into the Finnish society. Even the Finns are not a part of the Finnish society because we don't have this kind of uniform culture or something that you kind of get into. We like the separation. We like our solitude. So if you're not being invited into a Finnish home in your first weeks here, it's completely normal. I don't get invited to other Finns' homes.
Okay.
So, or it's rare.
So it's mostly about the understanding.
Yeah, and about, I think so.
Oh, I remember a story of a friend of mine that was invited to the cottage of the spouse or of the partner's family. And at the end of the weekend, then the girl told to the boyfriend, "Oh, that's really great. You have been really accepted well to my family." And he looked at her, "What? They weren't talking to me." And she said, "Yes, that is exactly why. Because they felt comfortable and confident that they didn't need to ask you questions anymore. And that was like a status that you're accepted to the family." And him being, I think, Italian, was really like, wow, that was a horrible weekend. But on the other side, no. So that was that can happen.
Wow, that's a good story.
And okay, so now if you are Finn, so you must have some kind of a very, very hidden place that you super like, and you would want to share with us for, you know, a travel tip, or within Finland, or in Helsinki, or some other city. What would be your favorite? Where would you send a foreigner to go and visit?
I guess it depends on the foreigner, but my favorite place, if I name one, is the forest floor of Finnish forests. Just lying down on a summer day next to the blueberries and everything, and then just staring at the sky and the trees above you. But actually, my favorite place is under renovation right now. In the center of Helsinki, there's a, I don't know if it's going to be named Hotel Seurahuone still after the renovation, but it's on Kaivokatu, opposite to the Sokos shopping mall. And underground, there's a bar. That bar and its interior decoration is awesome. It's beautiful. I hope that they're not going to destroy it during the renovation.
Okay.
But I like that space a lot, and I like to take people there if I can. Hopefully after the renovation, it's still there.
Okay, thank you very much. I think I've never been there myself. So after the renovation, I'm going to check it out. Kaivohuone.
Seurahuone.
Seurahuone. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right, good.
Very unfinished bartending, for example. They do waiting at the tables. It's a very unfinished experience, so to say.
Okay, I see what you mean now. Because indeed, we foreigners are very often surprised by the fact that, okay, you come to a nice restaurant. Well, if you come to the very super nice restaurants, they have a table service. But if you, for example, go to a cafe and you need to go yourself to stay in the queue, then you also need to pay this super expensive coffee, yes. or cappuccino, costing you a fortune, even not if you even buy the cake, costing you €7 or something, and you even need to bring it yourself to the table. Yes. So indeed, that is something we are still surprised, even after living a long time in Finland.
I can only imagine. It is weird.
Yeah, but this is how it is. So that's another tip for our listeners. This is how it works. It's completely normal, and we need to find the good thing about it.
True, and I mean, there's not always any good things about it. It's just sometimes weird.
Or it's just okay. Something like it is.
Yeah.
Or there is a famous word. This is how it is, and true. That's it. Okay, Aki. Good. Thanks very much for accepting the invitation for this episode. I wish you all the best in entrepreneurship and in teaching the entrepreneurs about how to get to know themselves before they even start going to the world and trying to achieve something. That's really important. Thank you so much. Kiitos paljon.
Kiitos paljon. Kiitos kun kutsuit minut.
Kiitos.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye!